This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor, and I welcome Devin Nunes, the executive philosopher of Truth Social, which is social media, very straightforward, but social media is much in the news. Devin, a very good evening to you. It only takes a moment for me to gather together social media about your part of the economy. Item, this is Bloomberg. Twitter rolls out new $8 subscriptions offering verification. Item, Meta, the company that we associate with Facebook, used to be a $1 trillion company. According to Reuters and AP and the Wall Street Journal, it's lost $800 billion in these last weeks or months. And that includes Instagram. So it is much smaller than its vision of itself today. And then there is the question of what is to be done about the censorship and the thinking and the roiling of all social media. There are doubts in all directions. I mentioned TikTok, which you've told me is very popular for young people. The item in NBC News today says Brendan Carr, who's on the Federal Communications Commission, said that he's going to, told Axios recently in an interview, that he wants to see the app, TikTok app, banned, although the FCC can't do it on its own. Now, TikTok is a security matter, and I don't entirely understand it. Twitter is a public relations catastrophe. I understand that. And Facebook, well, Zuckerberg just didn't have a very good idea. He changed directions and went to something called Meta, which I don't understand, some floating avatar on my screen, having no interest to me. That leaves you, Devin, and the way I think about you, it's since it's basketball season in many of the big colleges. You're dribbling down the court, and suddenly the opposition is fainting on the court, and you all you have to do is dribble in and make a layup. But you're not really proposing that you're in competition with all these places. You're a standalone. Have I got that correct, Devin?
You do, John, because we're building basically a whole new internet superhighway. We talked about this last week. You know, we're working with Rumble. We're building something so totally separate because we don't want to be beholden to any of these big tech giants. And if you look at, I agree with you on the whole Meta thing. It never made any sense why you would change your name. Facebook had a really good name out there. Everyone was on it all over the globe. And unfortunately, what they did is they started censoring people. And so people just started leaving. They got tired of the censorship. And they happened to have Facebook as that place, like we've talked about, that it's really for people that were over the age of 55 or 60 that would get on there. They interact with their family. It was a way for them to stay in touch with their family. And, you know, occasionally they would get involved in politics. And what happened over the course of the last 5 years now, actually, I guess it's been six, but ever since President Trump won in 2016, they went full-blown censorship with the urging of Obama, by the way, I should say, back in 2016. And it culminated with Zuckerberg spending $419 million of his own money that he laundered through all these supposed nonprofits to go and harvest ballots during COVID that happened to just be the 10 toss-up states was where most of the money was spent. So Facebook has kind of done themselves in. I agree. They changed their name. They look goofy. They still have, John, Instagram, which if you're between the ages of 25 and 50, Instagram is where it's at. And of course, TikTok is coming in there at a close second, or actually they're probably first in many cases in terms of under the age of 25. So look, we just kind of see it upon ourselves is that we're building our own highway. We're building out features. It's very, very slow. We have to build it very methodically. Everyone is asking, well, when is, you know, they want direct messaging because we know we're an important communications platform. And if people are on our platform, they want to be able to, if you follow someone, John, you want to be able to send them a direct message so you can get in contact with them. And it just takes us time to build these features out. And remember, we've only been open now, John, just over 3 weeks.
Right.
That's just to keep that in perspective. We've only been open for 3 weeks.
Did you know that Twitter was going to collapse? I mean, Devin, it's killed itself. I mean, Musk is SpaceX. Musk is Tesla. But it just goes to show that just because you've had a couple of successes in the past doesn't mean you're going to have them in the future. $8 a month for something called a verified checkmark? I'm not going to pay $8 a month for this foolishness. Who's going to do it? And besides, the whole thing of Twitter was it was owned by a particular kind of professional, people who are broadcasters or newspaper writers or columnists, who are all disdaining Musk now. Suddenly, the man who was going to rescue America with the electric vehicle is an enemy of the state or something like that. Did you know this was going to happen, or is this a phenomenon to you as well?
No, John, I think you could read the tea leaves. Twitter also set themselves on fire on their own by banning people, most notably banning President Trump and then millions of people after that, plus shadow banning. I mean, you know, I caught them. It's part of the reason why I got into social media and realized that this was so important, because I caught them doing it to me and some of my colleagues during the height of the Russia hoax.
And Musk knew that, which is one of his criticisms. But all he had to do was clean it up and leave it alone. That's all he had to do. Well, why is he acting so crazy?
Well, because his challenge is that you know, why he wanted to buy it, we'll probably never know. But then he went in, when he bought it, he overpaid for it. I think he realized that. And then he went in and they started suing each other. And my guess is that he had a bad contract. He got himself into something and then he had to buy it. But remember, Twitter is the echo chamber for the blue checkers and the fake news.
Right.
It is a serious propaganda machine that solely has been owned by the Democratic Party. I mean, for God's sakes, you had one of the key P-tape Russia hoaxer guys, John, that had a guy named Baker, who was Comey's right-hand man, who had fostered this whole entire Russia hoax on the people of the United States for years. I mean, he's one of the top guys at Twitter. I mean, they were rotten from, you know, through the whole core. It was a Democratic propaganda machine. The left and the media, they tried to stop Elon from buying it, but then he got him put in a position where then he had to buy it because he essentially outed Twitter that they don't have very many users. I mean, he admitted in a court document, this might be, not be the exact number, but they only had like 16 million Americans on the platform.
Well, that was last week, Devin. They're not 16 million anymore. They're lucky if there are 16,000. Good heavens.
Well, look, it still has a brand, but the problem is that he didn't realize that the woke corporates, all the people that he thinks are his friend, along with all these activist groups that they started to squeeze him over here since he took ownership of it. And as he's trying to make the business model work, they're squeezing him and they've cut off all the advertising money for something that he just paid $44 billion for, and I don't know how much of that money he borrowed, even if he's the world's richest man. He's kind of got himself in, what is it, John? I mean, you're the writer and the expert on literature, but what was that book called, Catch 22?
Yeah,
who wrote that
book? Right.
I mean, he's in one of those situations where, you know, he didn't realize that there is no place for the richest man in the world to say, oh, I'm going to come in and be the arbiter of free speech, because you have the left. He didn't realize this, how hardcore the left is, and that this was the propaganda machine. So he's ticked them off. And then, of course, he's got a lot of the conservatives who, you know, nobody's going to go dedicate their time to Twitter, not knowing, you know, what's going to happen in the future. So, you know, they may keep an account on Twitter. That's possible. But there's just other places for people that are center-right or don't want to be censored to go, like True Social.
Yeah, it's over, Devin. Jack Dorsey, who was the founder of Twitter, is apologizing because Musk has now laid off half the workforce and the other half will follow soon enough because there's nothing left. So enough time for their foolishness. TikTok is more interesting to me because that's the Chinese Communist Party. And we know this, and so does India. That's why India blocked it, and yet it continues here. Now, is that going to last, Evan? Again, you're dribbling the ball down the field. Twitter just fainted on the sidelines, and then over here, Meta fainted. They, you know, multi-billion dollar companies. What about TikTok? Is it going to survive?
Well, it is a major national security risk. There is no question in my mind that they are the Chinese Communist Party, the PLA, and your good buddy Gordon Chang would probably say the same thing. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to understand that they are building, using artificial intelligence and building a complete, you know, dossier on every single American that they can get their hands on. And look, to be fair, so is Google and a lot of the other companies, and they're not, none of these companies are, there's companies who specialize in this data mining. But the fact that we are letting not only them build these dossiers and profiles of all of the young people in the United States, they also have an ability, from what I understand, from what I've read, is if you're in China and you're a young person, you're not getting to experience the foolishness that you see the young kids that are, what the young kids are doing here in the United States. And I'll tell you, it's frightening. I've seen some of my nieces get on that, and I'm like, what on earth are you guys doing? I mean, they're young kids and they're just being poisoned. They sit there and they just veg out. And the Chinese, I think, know that, because what I've heard, if you're on TikTok in China, it's like an educational process. Like, you have to watch TikTok. If you're on TikTok, you have to be educated. You know, you have to, you get educated while you're on there. Versus here, they're allowing these kids to veg out, and they can feed propaganda to them. So it's a great tool for the Chi-Coms to basically insert propaganda into the mainstream of the young people in the United States. So, and at the same time, you've got some Biden administration officials saying, yeah, we should ban it. Remember, President Trump wanted it banned. He tried to force it to be banned. He then had brokered a deal where a U.S. company would come in to ensure that the data wasn't being stolen. That never, when Biden came in, they ended that. And you've got Obama. I don't know if you saw this week. One of the crazier things, it was on social media this week. You had Obama, who's, you know, former president, and the guy's 60 years old. Looks a little weird to me, John. I'm not a problem, but he's like crawling on the ground, sitting Indian style with some TikToker, because all the Democrats now, because they're so worried about the elections, they're having to go out and placate and play games with all these famous TikTokers, because they can't get the kids, which is typically some of their best vote. The kids typically bet, when I say kids, you know, kids that are 18, college age, that, you know, 18 to 30, that kind of that time, that age group, John, typically votes 60, 70, 80% for the Democrats. They can't get them out to vote. So they've marshaled, essentially using the Chinese Communist Party's company, to go out there and play games with all these TikTokers to try to get young people in this country to go vote. You can't make this stuff up, all within just a few days. It's like one day Biden saying, oh, this is really bad on TikTok, somebody, you know, a few people in the administration. And the next day you've got Obama, you know, playing Indian-style games on the floor with a TikToker.
Devin Nunes is the executive philosopher of Truth Social. We don't know why this is happening. It just is. Devin's dribbling the ball down the basketball court. He's going to make layup after layup because all the opposing team has fainted. We're going to turn to the midterms, not about crawling on the floor with TikTok, but about what Devin sees from California. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.